Say hello to a new friend on an old road. Take a two-lane trip of memories into mysteries unknown. Come along for the ride. Jim Hinckley's America. Jim Hinckley's America.
Hey. Good morning, everyone. This week we are dedicating the last days of 2021 to stories that inspire. So it's fitting that I start the morning program with some road trip inspiring tunes from Joe, Woody, and the boys of the Road Crew. Check out their music at roadcrew66.com for more road trip inspiring tunes. Today's story is about a man that transformed the auto industry and the way that we drive. And he did it while dealing with what most people would consider a debilitating handicap. Born in 1890, Ralph Teeter's family was a network of pioneering manufacturers in Hagerstown, Indiana. Family factories, machine shops produced bicycles, bicycle parts, auto parts, machine tools, and farm implements. So it was only natural that he would display mechanical aptitude from a very early age. But at age 5, everything changed. An accident left him blind in one eye. And in less than 2 years, he was medically declared blind in both eyes due to a condition known as sympathetic ophthalema. Now, for most people, this would have led to a lifetime of dependence and of limited accomplishment. But Mr. Teeter was not most people. Despite his blindness, his father and his uncles trained him to be a machinist, and they developed a machine shop with specialized tools for his use with supervision. At age 13, working with his cousin, the duo built an automobile from used parts and parts of their own design that they drove to school. Now, blind people often developed a heightened senses as compensation. But for Teeter, his sense of touch almost became a superpower. In 1995, his daughter Marjorie Teeter Meyer wrote, "His sense of touch became legendary. His hands were his eyes. On Christmas mornings, I'd bring my favorite toy over and let him see it." In the interview, she shared stories about her father's fierce independent spirit. As she explained it, Teeter learned to navigate in Hagerstown on his own, sensing building corners by the subtle echo of his metal-tipped shoes or by counting steps between known landmarks, and he avoided traffic hazards by smelling horses or listening for traffic. Teeter excelled in school, and he refused to see blindness as a handicap. With encouragement and support from his family, he constantly looked for new barriers to push through. Still, many were surprised when he announced his decision to become an engineer after completing high school. Most schools ignored or refused his application when they learned that he was blind, but Teeter was undaunted. With support from Neva Deardorff, a cousin that was an economics graduate student at the University of Pennsylvania, the university decided to give young Ralph a chance and admitted him to the mechanical engineering program. Professors were astounded by his memory. Even more impressive was ability to visualize problems, solutions, and mechanical drawings. Reading text required assistance from friends, and he was allowed to take tests orally. But then in 1912, he graduated near the top of his class with a degree in mechanical engineering. Before graduating with high honors, Teeter devised a revolutionary process for dynamically balancing steam turbines on U.S. Navy warships. This process is still used today. After school, he joined his father and three uncles in a company that specialized in piston ring production under the Perfect Circle brand. By World War II, this company was the largest manufacturer of piston rings in the United States. More than 90% of trains, planes, and automobiles used them. Ralph became the company's lead engineer and then later its president. Teeter also served as president of the Society of Automotive Engineers, and he became an influential supporter of automotive education. Excuse me. SAE International recognized Teeter's contributions by naming him one of the most prestigious engineering awards after him. He often said, you're not handicapped so long as you can think logically. Teeter was also a prolific inventor. In the late 1920s, he designed a fluid-operated gear shift that he sold to Bendix. He perfected an electric razor so he could shave himself. He developed a gasoline-powered lawnmower. He invented complex lock mechanisms and even reels for fishing rods. But perhaps his most impressive contribution was introduced in the mid-1940s. In the early 1940s, Teeter began developing ideas for a mechanism that would control an automobile's speed. His first attempt was a simple device that allowed the test driver to select a speed, and then when that speed was reached, the driver's foot would feel resisting pressure from the accelerator as a warning. The first speedostat prototype compromised a dashboard speed selector connected to an engine compartment mechanism running off the drive shaft. As drivers set speed neared, the governor mechanism overcame spring tension to activate a vacuum-driven piston capable of pushing back against the gas pedal. Teeter received a patent for the speed control device on August 22, 1950. 5 years later, Popular Mechanics described speedostat as a kind of power-operated accelerator or governor with extras. It said, quote, it definitely takes us several miles further down the road to automatic pilot for cars. As Teeter perfected the device and lobbied automotive manufacturers to adapt stat as factory install, he added a speed lock capability, an electromagnetic motor maintained dialed-in speed until the driver tapped the brake pedal. In 1958, Chrysler was the first to offer speedostat as a luxury model option. A year later, its popularity influenced Chrysler to offer speedostat on all models. Next came General Motors' Cadillac division, which christened and marketed the device as cruise control. Now, how's that for an inspirational story? I really suggest you read more about the amazing Mr. Teeter. I hope you can join me tomorrow morning as we count down to a new year with another story of inspiration. Invite your friends. Let's make it a coffee party. In tomorrow's program, I'll be sharing the incredible story of Jacob Miller, who served in Company K of the 9th Indiana Infantry during the American Civil War. The wound he suffered could never be hidden, and his recovery was so miraculous that he was offered a position with Barnum and Bailey Circus. You won't want to miss this inspirational story. Hey, before wrapping this up today, I want to give a shout-out to my good friend Connie Eccles at the iconic Wagon Wheel Motel. If you're planning a Route 66 Odyssey, you have to include a night at this gym where the line between past and present is blurred. And speaking of road trips, I need to recommend the professionals at Route Trip USA. If you want a memory-making road trip holiday in the U.S. or Canada, it begins with the good folks at Route Trip USA. I'd sure like to thank you for joining me this morning. If you'd like to be a guest on this program and promote a community development project, a new book, an exhibition, or, well, what have you got? Give me a holler. And before I bid adios, I want to give a shout out. My latest book, book number 20, Here We Are on Route 66, will debut in just a few days. We're going to have a countdown. It'll be January 18th. Here we are on Route 66. Well, my friends, thank you. And until we meet again, vaya con Dios, mi amigos. Adios.
Say hello to a new friend on an old road. Take a two-lane trip of memories into mysteries unknown. Come along for the ride. Jim Hinckley's America. Jim Hinckley's America.